Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am looking forward because we will continue our study from the book of Judges. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I am personally taking this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, and it always will be, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Moses to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that will go before thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Now, the promise is God will not fail us. He will not forsake us. But we have to be strong and fear him and keep his commandments. Again, God said, this time through King David, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. This is taken from Psalms 25, verse 14. Promise is that we will understand and be shown the way to God if we fear him. God said again, this time through King David, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his ways. This is taken from Psalms 25, verse 9. And again, the promise is that if you remain meek and humble and lowly of spirit, that God will guide you and he will teach you what you need to know to be successful this side of eternity. Precious brothers and sisters, I'm asking you again the question, are you standing on the promises of Jesus of God? Now, before we get started, I want you all to know that the Bible is written in code. This is a rehearsal that I do at every setting when we're studying. Before we start to study, I want to make sure you understand that the Bible is written in code. That means mysteries or secrets or parables or prophecies or proverbs or paradoxes or riddles or symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's the reason why we're here tonight together, to study and learn so we may be able to rightfully divide this word of truth. All right, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Judges. We're going to look at instruction number 10. And the instruction is Deborah, judge and prophetess. And remember, we are in a chronological storyline or history line that shows different individuals and characters in the Bible and their exploits during a particular time in the Bible. And this is taken from Judges chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Judges chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. And listen to what it says about Deborah. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidu, she judged Israel at that time. Now we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to get a similar understanding of a prophetess named Lydia. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. And this is what it says. It says, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna. I said it was Lydia, but it's Anna. This is the prophetess we're talking about in Acts chapter, or in Luke chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phineal, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So in this instance, we're talking about another prophetess in which she was waiting on the revelation of the Messiah, and she saw the revelation of the Messiah. And, of course, we know that Deborah helped free Israel from that king and from Sisera. So that's the connection. Okay, let's go back to the book of Judges. We're going to look at chapter 4 again, and this time we're going to look at looking at instruction number 11, and we're going to look at Judges chapter 4, verse 15 through 21. And this is the instruction 11 that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Sisera killed by Jael. Okay? And so, again, this is the storyline we're following. Listen to what it says in Judges chapter 4, verse 21. Verse 15 through 21. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Hazrosheth of the Gentiles. And all of the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, or Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Now I see we're at our first commercial break. Let's take that commercial break. Then we will continue with the instruction.
You can trust God with your forgiveness. You can trust God with your shame. You can trust God to get to heaven when you die. But the real question is this: do you trust him with timing? Some of us will say, oh, I worship Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus face to face when I die. But the real question isn't in the by and by when I die. It's what am I going to do in the meantime? And what if he doesn't show up in the exact moment, in the exact way that I expected him to show up? And what if I'm not married at the same time my girlfriends are married? And what if God doesn't pay my bill when it's due? And what if God doesn't develop and deliver me from the addiction in the first year? What if it doesn't work the first time, the second time, the third time? Then the question becomes, not just do I trust that God will do it, but do I trust when he wants to do it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with instruction number 11. And we know that Sisera was killed by Jael. And now we're going to go to Acts, going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it supplements one another, how it compares and agrees, even though the characters are different. The same situation occurred that was satisfied both in the Old and New Testament. Acts chapter 12 is where I want you to turn your Bible sources to, and we're going to look at Herod. Herod was like Sisera. Listen to what Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 4 says. It says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter there, and then we'll continue the thought of verse 21 and through 23. It says, And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was taken and eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost. So you can see, just like with Sisera, he died because he was against God's people. You can see where Herod faced the same fate because he was disobedient to God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, Turn your Bible sources back with me to Judges. We're going to look at Judges chapter 5 this time. It's instruction number 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 and verse 12. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The Song of Deborah and Barak. Now, we know that Deborah was the judge at the time that all this is occurring, and Barak was one of the warriors with her that were successful in bringing Israel out of the captivity of the people that were over them at the time. Let's go now to Judges chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, and it says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abiamon, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel." And then you complete the thought with verse 12. "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. Utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abiam." Okay, so that's the song of Deborah and Barak. Now let's turn our Bible sources to Revelations, and we're going to see the comparison in Revelations chapter 5, verse 7 through 14. Revelations chapter 5, verse 7 through 14. And listen to what it says. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him for that liveth forever and ever." So you can see that was and will be the new song that we are going to all be exposed to in the end times, which has not occurred yet, but that is the comparison. There's going to be another song of victory, and that song of victory is going to be the heavenly hosts and all that are in it that are going to be singing. Okay, let's go back to our lesson. Turn back with me to Judges. We're going to look at Judges chapter 6 this time, and we're going to be looking at verse 8 through 10. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this particular instruction. It's number 13, and God sent a prophet to Israel, okay? And you know this has happened all through the ages of the existence of God's people. Prophets were sent in and out. So this is what was sent during this time in Judges. It's Judges chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. And listen to what the prophet had to say. And it says that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And that is what the prophet said, that disobedience was the key to Israel not receiving the rewards from God. Now let's go to Acts, and we're going to see similarly in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Turn your Bible sources with me to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to see how in verse 20 through 23, the same has occurred. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 20 through 23. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So we know today that that prophet, because of the book of Hebrews telling us Jesus the Christ is our high priest and prophet. And that is the prophet that is spoken of here. And that if we disobey, we will be just like Israel today. Okay, let's turn our Bible sources back to Book of Judges. We're going to be looking at several more verses from chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verse 11 through 16. And the instruction is instruction 14. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Gideon is called by God. Here again is another character we're going to see how he played a role in Israel's judgment, because he was one of the judges. I see that we've just hit the next break, so let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
If there are over 7 billion people on Earth, then why do I feel so alone? If there is someone for everyone, then why does it feel like it's just me? If I have friends, then how come I can end up feeling so friendless? If I have family, then why do I sometimes feel like a family of one? These are some of the questions that I've had to ask myself at times, but I have never seemed to get an answer until I looked into the Word of God. The truth is, if you know Jesus, you are not alone. You are not alone. No matter how many times you have walked by yourself, God says that He will be with you wherever you go. No matter how many times you have fallen and had to pick yourself up, Jesus says that He knows you and that He laid down His life for you. You are not alone. No matter how hard things have gotten, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You are not alone. No matter how long you've been waiting, Jesus says that He is coming back, and until then He has sent His Holy Spirit to live in you. You are not alone. No matter what your situation has turned into, Jesus promises that you can find rest in Him. You are not alone. no matter who has deserted you, Jesus says that he will be with you always. You are not alone. But the Bible does show us what loneliness is like. Utter loneliness is what Jesus experienced as he hung on the cross. Loneliness, sin, death, and separation are what he overcame so that we could be with God, so that when we repent and turn to him, we can rest in his presence, so that we can experience his friendship forever.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 14, and it is Gideon is called by God. So this is what the book of Acts says in chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abarite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. All right. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to go back to the book of Acts, and we're going to see in the book of Acts, we're going to look at verse 1 through 6, and it's going to tell us the story of another man who was actually against God's people, but God turned around to save his people from oppression. Listen to what happened to Saul. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and described or desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So my brothers and sisters, what I am sharing with you in this instance is that as Gideon was told by God, so was Paul told by Jesus, so are we given inspiration. And some of us may even hear the voice of the Lord in our minds to give us direction. And the thing is that we must be obedient. And that's the key. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to instruction number 15. And we're going to be looking at Judges chapter 6 again. And we're going to look at several verses, verse 17 and then verse 22 through 24. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, number 15, is Gideon asked for a sign. Now, this is so significant, my brothers and sisters. We can inquire of God if we are uncertain, especially that it is God that is giving us direction. And we can inquire, and with the inquiry, God will give us more information. He did it for Moses. He did it for all of the characters in the Bible that requested it, all right? So that is something to keep in mind. So listen to what Gideon asked God for a sign. And this is what he says in Judges chapter 6, verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And then in verse 22 through 24, he gives the details. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Okay, so this tells us that God gave him a sign to prove himself. And that is something that God will do for us if we request it. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to see even with Paul, the same occurred with Paul. All right? Turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. And listen to what it says about Paul. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So again, you can see, even in this instance, that Paul inquired of God, and God showed him that he would give him a sign. He gave him the sign of Ananias. And you can see, even with Ananias, Ananias questioned Jesus also, and Jesus told him what to do. And so that is the key. If you need more substantiation for what you think you're getting ready to venture into, meaning if you are thinking about being a pastor, or you're thinking about being a missionary, or doing something that's extraordinary like that, then God will give you what you need. You inquire, and he will give you substantiation that it is him that is telling you to do this and not some whim of your own or of an evil spirit. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Judges. We're going to look at another instruction out of chapter 6, and this time we're going to look at verse 36 through 40, 36 through 40. And what I want you to do is look at the instruction number 17, which this is the instruction. Gideon asked God for another sign. So in this instance, one sign wasn't even good enough for Gideon. So that's telling us that, you know, we could probably ask God more than that. Remember when Abraham asked God about Sodom and Gomorrah, he asked God maybe five times, would he destroy the city if there was one righteous man in it? And so, you know, God responded to him and let him know. And so this is significant. So Gideon asked God for another sign. And this is what he said. And I see we're at the next break. Let's take this break, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
I want you to pray for me today because my assignment today is to get into an area that is kind of difficult to get into. I want to talk to you about what you believe. What you believe about your God, but also what you believe about yourself. Belief is a very important thing. It's not just a matter of denomination. It's not just a matter of being a part of a group or a tribe or a clique or a cult. Belief has all to do with your philosophy that you live by, your vision, your purpose, your goals. As Christians, we've come to understand, or you should understand, I'm not sure that you do understand, that what God is most concerned about is belief. Believing in him. He says, I know you're weak. I know you made mistakes. I know you've erred along the way. But if you believe me, it is counted unto you as righteousness. I want that to sink real deep in your head. He said, I know you're not right. Look at somebody and say, I know you're not right. And even though you try, and even though you labor, and even though you commit, and even though you work on it, and even though you pray, and even though you cry, and even though you repent, the very best of us falls short of the righteousness of God. I don't care how prudish you sit up there and look at me and try to act all super holy. There are moments in your life that you wouldn't want to show on this screen up here right now. You'd be up here tipping out like this. If every thought that ran through your head could be heard on the loudspeakers right now, you wouldn't have friends, you wouldn't have kids, you wouldn't have family, you wouldn't have anything, because I don't care. If you drink communion for breakfast every morning, there are still moments in your life that you think some things that you don't want to be heard. And yet God says, if you believe, your belief is counted unto you as righteousness.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at instruction number 16. We're going to Judges, back to Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 32, or 29 through 32. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind is this. Gideon becomes Jerubbaal. Now, that is like becoming a lieutenant or being a lieutenant and then going to a general. It becomes another person because of his obedience toward God. Gideon becomes Jerubbaal. Now, this is what it says about that. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the groves that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him put to death while it is yet morning. For he be a god, let him plead for himself, because of one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar. And so that is what Gideon did and became equal, you might say, to the false god. And the men that were willing to destroy Gideon because of what his father said did not. They left him alone. All right. Now let's go to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to see how the New Testament complement tells us similarly. We're going to Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 10. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 10. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the patriarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, or sorcerer, for so his name be interpreted, withstood them, seeking to turn them away from the deputy of faith. Then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" So this tells us that just like Gideon, he was impressed with God, so he destroyed Baal's altar and the groves, so did Paul respond affirmatively to the sorcerer and depleted him of his notoriety, if you will. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to instruction number 18. Oh, instruction number 17. And instruction number 17, we're still looking at Judges chapter 6, verse 34, 36 through 40. That's what we're going to look at. And this is the instruction of 17. Gideon asked God for another sign. So again, we're following the exploits of Gideon in the book of Judges. And this is what Gideon did. He asked God for another sign. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thy anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So again, God allowed Gideon to ask, and he responded affirmatively before Gideon truly obeyed God. All right, we're going to go now to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 14 through 18, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. And this is where I told you earlier about the woman Lydia. Listen to what it says. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide here. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the ways of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And you can see that, again, in this instance, we know that what's comparable is that this one that was plaguing Paul, that he was able to exorcise the demon that was in this particular woman. And I should continue to read. Well, the point I am making with Gideon asked God for another sign, you can see that Paul himself, he reinforced his position with the Lord by responding affirmatively to using what God had given him to, you might say, heal the sick and to feed the poor and to cast out demons. That's the instruction that I'm trying to get over in this instance, that you can continually ask God as you are performing the commandment or the instruction or the order you feel that God is giving you, and he will constantly give you what you need to be successful, to let you know that you are following his word. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. In fact, I see we're at the last break of the night. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
The pain of potential. It's not painful to not be what I don't have the potential to be. But what is painful is to know that I have the potential to be loyal enough to die for you, but I'm not ready for it. And the Lord told me if I preach this message, I would speak directly to somebody who all your life they talked about how gifted you were and how talented you were and how much potential you had, and yet you've never been able to get it together. You got the raw skills to be great. You got the skills to be an entrepreneur. You have the skills to be a great preacher. You have the skills to be a great wife. You have the skill to be a great husband. But all of that talent put together has not gotten you there. And now you're bitter. Not because the devil has tormented you. You are bitter because your potentials have given you pain. Because you say, by now, I should be further than this. By now, I should be better than this. By now, I thought I would have my degree. By now, I thought I would be married. By now, I thought I would own my own place. And you do have the potential.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, listen, we're going to go to the next instruction, and this may be the last instruction for the evening. We're going to go to instruction number 18, and what I'm going to do, we're going to go to Judges chapter 7. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. Then I want you to, as I read the text to you, pay attention to this instruction. The instruction is the 300 men saga. So this is the story of, you might say, the revelation of God to Gideon concerning the men that were going to be with him to free Israel from the Midianites. And this is how it started out, with 32,000, and it ended up with 300. And this is the saga, and we will find out why it ended up with 300, basically because God wanted to ensure that Gideon realized that God was the one that was fighting this fight and not Gideon and the 32,000 men. So let's listen to what the saga says. This is what it says in verse 1 through 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they return of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this small go with thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lappeth, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees and drank water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered them into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hand be strengthened and to go down into the host. Then he went down with Pharaoh, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. So you see, my brothers and sisters, this is the end of the story almost, and it tells us what happened, that Gideon got what he needed from God, and God only gave him 300 men to do the job, and he showed him what the end result would be. Now let us go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see again how in Matthew chapter 22, the same is identified when Jesus gave this parable. Listen to the parable that Jesus gave. And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in here thither, having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So in this parable, Jesus is similarly making the same comparison to what Gideon experienced with the 300 men. You know, God is in control of everything that occurs, and it's going to be according to him that we receive whatever it is he's given us. And that is what we must understand. And so in this parable, it tells us the same, that God will look at all, but all will not be worthy to be a part of what God is planning to do. And you must follow what God is instructing you to do. In this instance, if you come in, you must have a wedding garment. If you do not have a wedding garment, then you are not going to be a part of the festivities. And that is what I'm trying to illustrate in this particular instruction. Okay, so that concludes the lesson for tonight. Excuse me. And before we release, what I'd like to do is tell you that the host and I, we thank you for blessing us with your participation and encouragement as you chime in and give me information on this particular show from time to time. And I will say to you before we say goodnight to the listeners, remember what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.